Good morning. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're going to hear, we heard a parable this morning. We heard two parables, and I'm going to talk about one, and then I'm going to leave you with some thoughts on the second one, and perhaps we'll start an online discussion on our Facebook page. Parables are the way in which Jesus reveals the kingdom of God. And they're not straightforward. And they're not meant to be straightforward. And here's another thing. Sometimes they're not comforting. Sometimes they're meant, and most times, to kind of shake us up and be surprising to us. And that's exactly what our parable is like for today. The first one, and then the second one, is even more startling. So we're going to start with the first one. Let's talk about the growing seed. Now, in Mark's gospel, it is the only gospel that has this particular parable. You maybe have heard of the parable of the sower, and that's where the sower goes out and throws the seed, and some falls on rocky ground, and some falls in thorns and sickles, and some thorns fall in good soil. Get that one out of your mind for this parable. Because this parable, while the other one is contained in Mark's gospel, this one is only in Mark's gospel. And this is the parable of the growing seed. Now, I'm going to admit to you, and I'm like really embarrassed to do this, but I am going to tell you, I am such a city girl. I meet people that, I grew up in Rockville Center on Long Island, and anytime I meet anybody who lives really on Long Island, like out east, they laugh at me and say, oh, yeah, you're from the city, is what they'll say to me. And I would have to say, when I tell you this, that it's a true statement when I tell you this. So I have to go out to Springfield, Illinois. And I'm going there on a business trip. When I was working for J.P. Morgan Chase, they had just bought or merged with Bank One, and I was going out to meet with the staff that was out in Springfield. And so we couldn't get a hotel anywhere in town. And I had no idea why that was, but we got one just on the outskirts of town. So we're driving in, and there's the big convention center. And on the convention center sign, this is what's posted. Welcome, WWF. Smackdown, and it says the day that it is. So I'm like, okay, I know WWF. It's right, World Wrestling Federation. And so they're having a Smackdown thing here. So I'm like thinking, well, that's why. There's no hotels. What did I know? I don't know anything. So next thing, across the banner comes, welcome, FFA. Somebody knows what that is because they're laughing. Knowing that I'm a city, you all know what that is. Okay, I don't know what that is. So, welcome FFA and blah, blah, blah. And so I said, oh, okay. And I said to my partner who was there, what's FFA? And he goes, Future Farmers. And I said, oh. So I'm thinking, it's a group, it's a band. It's like a local, like they must, okay. Well, what did I tell you? I was not very smart. So that's what I'm thinking. Oh, maybe that's why people in town, maybe they're going to play first and then WWF. Like I'm trying to really understand the area that I'm in. So, we have our meeting the next morning when we're getting ready to leave the hotel. There are all these young teens, and they all have the FFA jackets on, right? And in the back it says, you know, what town they're from. But in the front, there's this big emblem, FFA. And so now I'm realizing, like, okay, it's probably not a group like I thought it was. I had no idea what it was. And so I said to one of the young gentlemen, I said, so tell me about your jacket. And he said, well, it's FFA. And I said, well, I get that, Future Farmers. I mean, what is that? And he looked at me like, what do you mean, what is that? And he said, I said, tell me about it. He said, well, we're here, you know, for the farming convention, you know, the Future Farmers of America convention. And I said, oh, like, I didn't know they had a convention. I didn't know they had this organization. I didn't understand how big of a convention this actually was. And then I was beginning to understand why every room in the town, in the city, was sold out. So I said, I was thinking of that story, just about how naive, right? And I said, oh, let me look it up. Future Farmers of America. So in Florida, it was founded by a group of young farmers back in 1928, and their mission was to prepare future generations for the challenges of feeding a growing population. They taught us that agriculture is more than planting and harvesting. It's a science, it's a business, and it's an art. And I thought about that, and I said, well, I understood then, you know, it's a business. You know, because farmers, you know, they need to understand the business of everything. But I really had no idea that there was an entire educational component that you could get degrees in this. And then I'm up studying at Luther Seminary, right near University of Minnesota's campus for agriculture. It's as if God was smacking me in the face, saying, ha, 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 you're going to learn all of this. And as I'm walking around, because I would walk every June, there's like agriculture fields everywhere. And so I was like, oh, you can get a degree in this. Oh, you can get an undergraduate degree. Well, okay, I can understand that. Well, not only can you get an undergraduate degree, did you know that you could get a master's and a PhD in farming? I didn't know that. And so here are some of the classes they take. Plants get sick too. Introduction to plant pathology. Plague, famine, and beer. Perhaps you drink the beer if there's a plague or a famine. Research in plant pathology. Issues in plant pathology. It goes on and on and on. And then I said, I'm going to read one of the course descriptions. And so I started to read one of the course descriptions that they had, and it basically said that you're going to learn all about, this was the one in plant pathology, and you're going to learn everything about what causes and controls plant diseases. It's going to focus on the biological and ecological aspects of plant disease, the role of plant disease in plant production. It goes on, disease diagnosis, identification, if there's a plant issue, a pathogen. So I was like, wow, I had no idea. I just thought that as farmers, families of farmers would learn over the generation the tricks of the trade. Right? You want to plant here. You want to do this with the soil. You want to make sure you have this amount of irrigation, et cetera, et cetera. I had no idea that there was such a thing. Well, you know, it's funny because in the parable for today, this whole piece that says they taught us that agriculture is more than planting and harvesting, Jesus says the exact opposite about the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't say that it's about a science, that it is about a business, that it is about an art. Instead, Jesus says that it is about planting and harvesting. The exact opposite of what we would think. You see, the kingdom of God is the seed. And the sower, the person, the human is the Greek, goes out and just throws the seed wherever, just casts it out, extravagantly throws it out. The seed, the kingdom of God. And that seed is thrown here on earth, not someplace up in this spatial place that we call heaven, where God is. But right here, with us, human beings, who are not perfect. And so the seed, the sower just throws about the seed. And then what does the sower do? The sower goes to bed. The sower sleeps all night, not worrying. The sower then gets up in the morning, maybe makes himself some eggs or herself some eggs. Gets about taking a shower, maybe goes to the store and goes grocery shopping, comes home, has some lunch, maybe goes off to work, goes about their daily business. and then at night has dinner, maybe watches some sports on television or a favorite TV show, and does what? Goes to bed. Does not worry about the seed that was sown. Does not go out into the field and check on it to make sure and tend to it and make sure it has everything that it needs. And then what happens? The sower sleeps all night, gets up, and does what the next day? The same thing. And it's sort of like, what? Really? Doesn't that fly in the face of everything that we're taught? Aren't we supposed to be doing something? Well, yeah. The doing part is the sowing. The growing part is what the Holy Spirit does. That growing part. It says the earth produces of itself. This production of God's kingdom is going to happen. Be assured of it. It has nothing to do with what we do and everything to do with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And doesn't that fly in the face of everything that we want? If we think about it, don't we want to feel like we had some hand in that? As humans, I would say we would want that. But our role is to do what? Just to toss. And so how do we toss that about? We toss about God's word. And we toss that out freely and not prejudiciously, but abundantly all around. And we take comfort in knowing that it's going to grow. It's not in our time. As a matter of fact, we may never, ever see it. It may not come for generations. It may not come until we're long in the full presence of God, unless Jesus returns before that. And that, perhaps, is part of the hardest thing for us to understand. The kingdom of God will come. So what is our role? What does Jesus tell us to do? Jesus gives us two commandments. To love God. To love God. To love God. And how do we do that? We do that through the reading of Scripture, through having conversation with God. We do that by sharing God's word. We do that through our actions, because that's the next thing. What's the next thing that we're to do? Love our neighbor. Love our neighbor. And so through the actions and what we do and what we say, and sometimes I'm going to say, and by what we don't say, that time where you have to, I better bite my tongue, right? By what we don't say, we are spreading the seed. We don't know how it grows. But what we do know is that it will grow. And it will grow in God's time. So here's a question that I'm going to ask you. Are we off the hook then as it relates to the kingdom of God? No. We're not. We're off the hook as far as making it grow, because we don't do that. The Holy Spirit does that. But we're not off the hook as far as throwing the seed, being God's kingdom here on earth. That part we're not off the hook for. There's this song that comes to mind. Have you heard this song? It's the Yellowwood commercial, and it's "The sun comes up and the sun goes down." You heard that song, "The sun comes up and the sun goes down." Well, I kept saying to Carl, what the heck is the next line that he's saying? I can't figure it out. And it's "work away, work away, work away, work away." Well, I said to Carl, I'm going to name it "Worth the Wait, Worth the Wait." So when you hear that commercial, "the sun comes up and the sun goes down," I guess I'm listening to that little bluegrass music going on before. I want you to think of these words. Worth the wait, worth the wait. Our role is to cast the seed the kingdom of God in the sea. And the sun will come up and the sun will go down. And God's kingdom will indeed grow. And it will be worth the wait.
Worth the wait.
Amen. So now, do you want to know about the other one? I'm going to give you these hints. The mustard seed is a weed, Batman. It was a weed. You wanted a little bit of mustard, didn't want a lot of mustard. When the weed grew, it would take over everything. The kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. It will grow like a weed and it will take over everything. And the birds, do we think they're the cute little birds in the sky? No. The birds in the parable of the sower, not the growing, the bird is the one who comes and eats the seed. And so what does this parable tell us? The kingdom of God will grow like a weed and it will grow big. And it will even have a place for the one who eats the seed to be, to live, and to stay. So we're going to continue that discussion online on Facebook.